Let's start the show.
La, 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 la. This one's called
what?
I don't know. It's called Lost and Found. Lost and Found
bracelet. Dean's bracelet. Remember, it's Dean's bracelet.
That was such a small. I feel like that was such a small part of the la la.
Oh, oops. We might have accidentally started again.
That's fine.
Flawless after 35 episodes of
right.
doing this.
No.
Flawless. Technically precise podcasting.
Yeah, no errors.
Right to your ear holes. Oh, it's hard. Why is it so hard to talk sometimes?
Welcome to Gilmore Guys.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Jimmy.
And we're
the Gilmore guys.
What it's a great intro.
Yeah.
It's hard to talk. I'm hard to listen to. Welcome to Gilmore Guys.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Guys,
it seems strange to me that they would call they would name the episode after something so small, because it seems like the bracelet was like a subplot. Dean never even found out about it, you know?
Well, he didn't find out in this episode, but does he in another one? I forget.
Okay, the way
you totally forgot.
The way that you were saying that makes it seem like, oh yeah, he finds out.
No, I totally forget.
Okay,
and he might.
He might.
Yeah. But
so some of you might notice there are only two of us. I don't know how you would notice because I haven't mentioned it. We haven't even like the title of this episode doesn't have a third person on it.
No.
We had told you that Bruce Springsteen was going to be here.
Yeah.
What? What? Wait, is he here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Are you going to be on the show? Or
no, man.
Okay, so for some reason, Bruce Springsteen is here, and he's close enough that he could just talk to him, Mike, but he doesn't want to do the show.
I'm not going to.
Is it because there's no factories in this show?
There's no factories, and there's no girls racing in the street.
Well, there could... Okay, so Bruce doesn't want
to
do...
Not yet, anyway. We'll get to that.
It doesn't fit with his aesthetic, so he's not coming on the show. Really upset about
Lorelai wasn't born to run.
Okay, you keep talking, but you don't want to talk on the, you know what, fine, you can, yeah, Lorelai wasn't born to run. She was probably born in the USA.
Was she?
I don't know.
Well, keep listening.
Okay, Bruce, somehow you know a lot about the show, but you don't want to talk about it.
Oh, I'm a huge gilly.
God, Bruce.
I've seen them all 3 times each.
Bruce, come on the show.
Well, no.
Okay.
I gotta go play my guitar.
Your guitar?
Yeah, man.
Wow, you definitely have, you can do that any other time.
Yeah, but.
Look, this is a lot of talking for someone who's not gonna be on the show. If you're not gonna get on, you get out of here.
I tell you what, before I go.
All right.
I'm gonna slide this piece of paper with the contact info of my good, close personal friend, Sting.
From the police?
Yeah, here you go. Okay, gotta go.
This is 6 numbers.
I was so... Is it actually 6 numbers?
It's just 6 numbers.
Oh, no. Well...
I'll get it later. Don't worry about it.
The last one's 4.
What's the first one?
4.
Okay.
So I guess we'll have Sting on next week.
Yeah, we'll have Sting on next week.
Sorry, by the way, I wasn't talking during that. I'm just in awe.
You were also eating the cookie, so...
That's true.
Yeah.
I did it all for that.
Cookie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The cookie. Anyway, we're going to have Sting on next week.
Yes, the iTunes review challenge, guys. Oh my gosh.
A lot of you have been participating.
One could say too many. Actually, no, you could not say it. You could never say it. Cause
I'll say no,
it. Isn't, no, don't say that. Even though I just did. But it is so lovely and overwhelming that all of you would take your sweet, sweet time and actually write
a word or two about us on iTunes. That helps with our rankings, that helps with everything, and it helps with our personal spirit. Every morning when I wake up, I go straight to the iTunes reviews.
Sing a little prayer for you.
Yeah, well, yes, because I do value my self-worth based on iTunes reviews.
Yeah.
If I get a one-star review, I don't eat for the rest of the day. I'm that upset.
One time, someone said to me words about the podcast, and I just ate dirt.
Like, literally.
I chewed a bunch of dirt for breakfast,
oh, dude.
Lunch, and dinner.
You don't even know.
Didn't even cook it.
But you know what? Uncooked dirt. I love it. We owe it to you to rap.
That's true.
Your names. And, oh boy, there's quite a few.
Kevin was kind enough to let me pick the beat this time. He doesn't know what it's going to be. So without further ado, I'm just going to say, let's drop this.
Okay.
Woo!
Oh boy.
You ready for this, Kev?
Oh, am I ever.
All right, you want to start this? Should I start this?
I think I'll start it this time.
All right,
time.
You got it.
Because I think sometimes you start, but this time I, myself, will start it. Katie loves Kirk, Temper Sparkle, Barnum Julia, Sarah Markle was a girl I knew in high school. She's not a reviewer, and she makes my life a little bluer because she's so sad. I get so mad. I need to get back to iTunes names. Determined, Alyssa 4259 SH, Townie Wannabe.
With a bunny little sorry, yeah, and little Lefty D Mac. Then CH said, left us a review, and it wasn't half bad. It was pretty positive, I believe. I don't know, but I want to thank you anyway. So, Malene with three eyes, then Diesel with four eyes. Getting jiggy with it.
Malene with four E's.
My bad.
Sorry to correct you. Too hot, too touch. We love you so, so, so very much.
Butch.
Skylar 49.
Ooh.
Then we got Jenny 99.
Ooh.
Go Girl MH, that guy that one time, Mexi Geek. B dollar sign 556. Write your bell. Don't go to hell. We rhyme hell a lot on this rap challenge. I don't know why that is. But then there's one more. Bar dash 25.
Ooh.
Artsy Lydia, she has a lot of personal drive to challenge the things in her life, like art.
Rapunzel zombie, she's dead but she's got long hair. Instead, like KBRN08, leave us review and it wasn't that great. Just kidding, it was nice. I really enjoyed it. I like you too, Daily. So thank you, little one F. Gonna Molly KB this, gonna make it bump. Sane. The name is sorry underscore and then you got Nihon Naboku.
Nihon Naboku. Ticker fan 79. You are so fine. Thank you for your time. Thatched autocorrect. You are correct in reviewing us. Jess, love it for life. I would never make you my wife because you love Jess. I'm not like Jess. I'm a good boy. that's just a statement. Joan 4974. Red Rosie 2010. Om of mom. You're the bomb. All time low all the way. Hey, hey.
Ooh. Paige Marie times three. That's Paige Marie, Paige Marie, Paige Marie. Am Seltzer friend. Lily Grace, 22. Thank you. Do more than exist.
Whoa.
Is that existential for me?
Whoa.
I think so. I'm having a crisis. Kristen Cross, can you help me overcome this?
Adoree, Mad Sunday, Nady Lou, Alex K, 1-1, Carissa B, you are so very good to me.
Oh.
No nicknames. Then two more, Egon's 1-5, Dana, 1-0-2-5.
Yeah, we rapping. Yeah, we rapping. Yeah, we rapping. We getting jiggy and we rapping, Will Smith. We're getting jiggy and we
rapping, Will Smith. That was a good rap.
It was a good rap.
That was one of the best we've done.
I think
just
because
it was the most fun. Technically good.
Proficiently, no.
But did I have fun? You bet I did.
One of these days, we should get like a real rapper on here just so they can help us with the reviews.
One day, we should actually just write it out before time.
Yeah, one of these days.
We just like, I mean, there's a lot of work that goes into this show. Unfortunately, this is the part we always do on the spot,
yeah.
Other than finding the names. But I think one day, maybe for like one of our finales, we'll do it. Or if we ever do a live show,
we'll rap every single name. I'm kidding.
Oh my gosh.
No, that would be
that's
a whole
205
show.
205 names.
Gross.
Thus far.
Gross. I mean, gross. Thank you, all of you, but I'm just imagining people having to listen to us rap.
And what's wrong with that? People, that's actually, I hear from multiple people that say that's the best part of the show and the only reason they listen to it. And when it's done, they turn it off.
Oh, wow. Multiple people are lying to you.
Well, life's like that. kids, life is a disappointing nightmare. Welcome to Gilmore Guys.
Oh, for a second, I thought we hadn't said, I'm Kevin, I'm Demi. I was like, oh, boy.
No, we did it.
So let's get into
episode 215.
Lost and Found.
Lost and Found. Let's start this episode the way we start every episode with a little segment we call Pop
Goes
the
Culture.
A segment where we take every pop culture reference in the show and put them together in a supercut and play them back. And see what we can make of it. This is episode 215, Lost and Found, Pop Goes the Culture.
We'll go see Lord of the Rings, and on the way home, we'll rent Autumn in New York and mock it for the rest of the afternoon.
I mean, I know Scott and I have been pinned by Birdie kind of implication to it, but it was just a bracelet.
Then I'll go off to college or Attica or whatever. And
Calgon, take me away.
That I did not actually get down on my hands and knees in a brand new Donna Karen suit.
Mm. Yeah, Elvis, the Beatles, Mary Poppins, all the greats.
Patience, Grasshopper.
It looks like a white trash Hearst castle in here.
Well said, Ida Morgenstern.
So when was the last time you had those gutters cleaned?
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
Yeah, I found an I Like Ike bumper sticker up there.
Inherit the Wind, 75 cents. Now, here's a copy of Rilke's Letters to a Young Poet, which I already have, but in hardback.
Mel Brooks.
Why? What do you mean, why? The 2,000-year-old man, young Frankenstein, silent movie. You don't think Mel has earned the right to have his face on my butt?
And while I'm shaking it to the Miami Sound Machine...
Did you break into our house? You got all dressed in black and pulled a Mission Impossible?
Actually, I came down the chimney and pulled a Santa Claus.
It's time. Make a move. Take a shot. Entertain the possibility of a non-Unabomber existence. What do you say?
And I had your voice going round and round in my head.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Small World song.
The Shags?
Trust me.
Okay.
Luke, Rachel's not the only woman in the world for you. You'll meet someone.
This is going to be the Vanity Fair paper cut incident all over again, isn't it?
Nice save, Gretzky.
No one's a healthy eater like Luke. Yul Gibbons wasn't a healthy eater like Luke.
Wow. It's been ages since I heard a good Yul Gibbons reference.
It's been my entire life since I've heard a Yul Gibbons reference.
Do you know who it is?
He's a proponent of natural diets and an outdoorsman from the 60s.
Dude, you nailed it.
Yeah.
It's like you were reading that from a...
Almost as if I was, parentheses one, close parentheses.
I don't know if Lorelai's ever wanted to call it like, oh, that's a weird reference.
Yeah.
Calgon, take me away. Yeah, so many in this one.
She would have been all aboard if he had been like, Il Duce wasn't as good of an eater as...
I want Il Duce to make a reference appearance in every episode.
I do too.
And by the way, just to reiterate, we're never slamming the show for having esoteric references, because I think people still think we do that. We're not. We're just dumb, and we accept that.
Yeah.
So we love esoteric references. Who would
almost as much as
Michelle likes that song.
I like that song.
Yes, he does.
I like that song. Nice Chicken. You're gonna play it, aren't you?
Wait, I'm gonna play what?
Nice Chicken.
I love it. But I never, it's better when I never see it coming. Yeah. So speaking of things that are pop culture, why are they watching Lord of the Rings so much in theaters?
Because it's out.
I know, but like, it's like.
I saw the first one 4 times when it came out, but I was a 12-year-old boy at the time.
Rory, like,
or 11-year-old.
Expressed her dislike for it. She was just like, oh, I guess we can go see it again. Like, I feel like Lord of the Rings is such a long movie. Who can sit through it enough times if they're just like, I don't like this very much?
Well, I think that was the point of that scene. It's like, Dean's like, oh, I love Lord of the Rings. And she's like, okay.
Yeah, but she was going to go sit through it again, as opposed to just being like, I really don't want to.
Oh, because she does agree to do it. You're right. Oh, yeah, that's dumb. Well, maybe they're just like, you know, getting busy in the theater watching it. Actually, probably not.
No, probably not.
It's not a good make-out movie, is it?
No.
Have you tried?
No, but
what's
also...
What's the weirdest movie you've made out to?
This is a fun hot rod. It's the only...
Is that true?
Yeah.
This
is weird, because now we have 2 episodes in a row where I talk about how big Hot Rod is for me. But then again, it's also...
And how big your Hot Rod is to you.
God damn it.
It was right there, dude.
It was. Good job.
And it's right there?
Nice chicken. Stop pointing at my penis.
Hey.
There's a quote.
Nice chicken.
That's what I said when I looked up Demi's D. Sorry.
So, Rory.
Rory. Yeah, welcome to my ass.
Yeah, welcome to my ass, dude. Rory makes the best diss of all time when they're talking about Mel Brooks being tattooed on her butt, and she says, trying to give Mel a bigger canvas to work with.
Boom.
I almost wanted to just, like, I wish I was with a squad just watching the show, and we were all just, oh! Yeah, it was great. I kind of want to, if people are getting fat, now I'm just going to be like, trying to give Mel a bigger canvas, huh?
And they're not going to really comprehend what that means.
Yeah, and they also might hate me. I'm definitely going to lose some friends over just being rude.
Or at least some followers.
New year, new me. I'm a rude dude now.
Rude dude. I'm 69 a rude dude. Coming at you.
My new screen name. Rude dude. What was the Vanity Fair paper cut line?
Reference?
Yeah.
It was just a reference to Vanity Fair.
But like there was a paper cut? What is that?
She was just saying, oh, the paper cut incident. Like you freaked out over a paper cut in the past.
Okay, I thought she was saying like there was something that happened specifically in Vanity Fair about a paper cut that was like big news in the 2000s that I missed.
No.
But I guess it's like she heard herself on Vanity Fair.
In a future app, they do reference the Lindsay Lohan Vanity Fair cover.
Hmm.
The one where she kind of came back from rehab, but not really.
Right.
But she still didn't look like a... This is back when she didn't look like she was 59 years old after all the drugs. Anyway, sorry, that's not a necessary slam. But the Netflix synopsis for this episode is Rory panics when she realizes she lost the bracelet Dean made for her.
Ooh.
When Lorelai witnesses Jess in Dean's room, she accuses him of stealing it.
That's 100% a spoiler.
Yeah.
100% a spoiler. Yeah.
And only half the episode.
Yeah.
Even though it's how Lost and Found, so I get why they would focus on that.
I would think they would focus on Lorelai and Jess sort of breaking bread until the end, you know? Just like, it would be something like Lorelai begrudgingly accepts Jess's help in an attempt to become more friends with him because Rory... I don't know, something just about...
Something more vague, yeah. Though. Lorelai and Jess start to get along until an interesting conflict arises. That's bad. But right. Just something that vague that's like, oh, I wonder what that is.
Exactly.
Not like, Jess does this, so Lorelai reacts this way.
Right.
All right, well, I don't need to watch it now.
Yeah.
Oh, man. There was a lot of, in this show, because I'm just thinking about the teaser, there's a lot of shots that were just one shot for the whole scene. The teaser was just one shot, I believe. There were zero cuts for however long it was, like the 90 seconds or whatever it was. And then there was one in the Stars Hollow Town Square again, where it was really long, but they never cut away. It was when they were talking about like, oh, you should be nice to Jess. Why do you care that I'm nice to Jess? Oh, well, I guess he's a friend, blah, blah, blah. And they kept it on the whole time. And it goes back to what you were talking about how the performances breathe a lot better.
Right.
When it's just the master shot and there's no coverage.
When they cut back and forth for coverage on dialogue scenes, it feels so much faster and frenetic and it's like uncomfortable almost. Yeah. And they do a lot of long takes in this show, I've realized. Like the Ocean's 11 scene from last episode was one take.
Yeah.
Until Michelle runs to the steps and starts like losing his
mind.
Yeah. But they do a lot of one takes, and it's kind of subtle. They never are flashy about it, which is awesome. But it also sort of speaks to how well of a job that everyone on this show does, like, with delivering their lines. It never feels like they're struggling to get performances out with, like, just, like, memorizing the lines and getting them out and making it feel like it's a natural conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It never feels forced. But you would think, like, if untrained actors were doing scenes where it's like long take and it's like you have to memorize the lines, you'll focus on knowing the lines more than getting the actions out too.
It's a lot of balls to juggle. That's
it is, yeah. They're talented kids. Talented kids.
Well, and it's funny too, because this was Liddell's like first gig.
Right.
As an actress.
So they probably saw something on the audition where they were like, yeah, this girl can do exactly what we need to. I wonder if audition tapes for the show exist.
We've talked about that before, and I said the exact same thing.
Oh, yeah. We have a lot of moments on the show where we are going, oh, yeah, we talked about that already.
Oh, crap. We're only 35 episodes in, and we're out of material.
Have we ever talked about Bootsy? I'm kidding.
Yeah.
We have.
Have we ever talked about whether Mrs. Kim is racist or not?
No. Definitely haven't discussed whether or not Michelle is black.
So, oh my gosh, he's black. We understand. I understand. Daddy screwed up. He's black forever.
He's black forever.
I shouldn't say he's black forever in such an annoyed tone of voice.
He's black forever.
He's black forever.
Exodus, Gods and Kings in theaters now.
Okay, so I referenced this because I just thought this would be interesting to read. Because I referenced this on a previous episode about Edward Herman. Rest in peace, about he had an article on AV Club called Random Roles.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a walkthrough of his most famous roles. And obviously, Gilmore Girls is one of them. And one of the things that comes up when we're talking about, like, Bledel and memorizing lines and stuff, he has a really interesting quote. Talks about meeting Kelly Bishop and their chemistry. And he said, "And I fell deeply in love with Alexis. She had been a model, but this was her first real role. And it was for a one-camera hour show, the toughest thing you can do. And she would often have meltdowns because she didn't know how to handle the time, the energy, how you have to pace yourself and relax and what have you. And I was sort of delegated from time to time to look after her, and I was very, very fond of her. Then one summer I thought, she's not going to make it. She's going to burn out. But then she went to Italy with a friend to learn cooking, and I thought, she's going to be fine because she's got a brain of her own and she's not wrapped up in this.
Oh, she's going to be fine.
She's too stubborn. I kept trying to explain to her, acting is not all like this. It's a wonderful profession. And if you get a play, then you start doing some scene work. You have a gift that's one in a million, one in 10 million. You're like Audrey Hepburn. The camera absolutely adores you. You can't say anything wrong. You can't do anything wrong. It's a gift. So if you want to pursue this as a career, she did. And she didn't. She did the Traveling Pants films and a few other things. I see her in New York from time to time. But she's casual about the business, which keeps it at arm's length, which is a pity in a way, because she's brilliant. And she's so sweet. Such a kind person. She's terrific. I love that. I love the idea of him, like, looking after her on set and being, like, an unofficial mentor.
So sweet.
Anyway, just made me think of that quote. Read the article, guys. It's great. Getting into this episode, let's just start off with this question from me to you. Does this make you like Jess more or less?
I liked him when he was cleaning the gutters.
When he was being a human being with Lorelai?
Yeah.
Over Chinese food?
That was charming.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the bracelet thing happened, I got really mad because I know that they're going to end up together. And I don't know how. There's so many things now where I'm just like, how are you going to overlook that? How are you going to overlook that? How are you going to overlook that? And it's just like, in my head.
How is Rory going to overlook it? Or how is Lorelai? Okay.
Yeah. In my head, Lorelai doesn't overlook the stack of things that Jess has done. And I feel like if I were a person in this town, I'd just be like, dude, that guy's the worst. Like, he knocked over that snowman. He definitely broke into the store and replaced Babe with porn. He definitely stole your bracelet and wasn't going to give it to you unless you were going to, like, just...
He did a fake chalk outline.
Yeah.
Stole a gnome.
All his pranks are lame, and all of his, like,
when
actual
you list
vandalism
them out like that,
is too
so
much.
Funny.
Right? Also, Rory, he's into close-up magic. He's into close-up magic.
There's a
Don't
lot
date
of
this
red
guy.
Flags.
Yeah.
That she is ignoring.
Rory, he wears the same camo shirt every other episode.
Well, except in this one, he does wear a...
It's a camo shirt or
a red t-shirt with
over,
a long sleeve. Yeah. Yeah.
He's got two shirts.
Well, should we do a fashion report real quick?
Sure.
Okay. Fashion.
Rory, he wears camo. And his pants are too big for him.
Too damn big. They're like pajama pants.
You know what? I had a realization today. In the scene where Jess is walking away from Luke when they're looking for apartments, he's just like, he says, like, no one asked me if I want to come to Stars Hollow. You find an apartment and I live there. He's walking away. And my first thought was, he looks so cool until his pants get into frame. Seriously, he looks so cool, and then they look like he's got these like Jinko like raver like sweatpants that are too big for him.
Raver,
like, I'm just like, what's happening?
Yeah,
I don't know.
All the men's pants on this show are too big.
Just I feel
Max
like
Medina's clown influence.
Yeah, they're dressing the men like very subtly in the show just to be like, don't fall for it. They're all bad, and I'm just kind of like,
although,
it works.
You know what? You know what? Someone said to me the other day. A friend of mine who works in fashion, she actually does wardrobe on Ellen.
Yeah.
I won't say her name because she has a hashtag out there trying to get herself on this show. And I won't allow it.
Right. I am for it.
For what?
Yeah, let's get her on the show.
No.
Okay.
The hashtag is Cameron for Gilmore.
You just said her name.
Okay. Well,
anyway, continue.
Maybe I'll bleep it out. But she commented to me because she's been binging on it and she says, I don't like Luke's jacket. I think it's too feminine and it's too tight in the waist.
His jacket?
Yeah. His like green jacket that he wears all the time whenever he goes outside, essentially.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if I agree. I don't know if it's too feminine or not. So
I've never thought of it as being feminine, mostly because it's like this weird dark.
It's like an army jacket. Yeah.
But
it's too, I mean, she works for Ellen. She did the Oscars.
She definitely knows her stuff.
She has some cred.
Right.
So, I don't know. Let's take a Twitter vote on that or something.
Twitter. Is Twitter. Luke dressing too feminine?
The only, I had three other notes. One, Dean's leather jacket is back. Well, it's just not back. It's just a continuing. Same thing. Taylor Dosey's cardigan is back, which someone references in the show. Like,
yeah.
Everyone's going to be wearing cardigans before.
Wearing cardigans and having the exact same green.
Damn it, Taylor.
Yeah.
Did you notice? Okay, did you notice his voice in this episode?
Damn it, Taylor.
Taylor, he's going to own the whole town. It's going to be Taylorville. Blah, blah, blah.
Just tear up the application, Taylor. I'm not moving.
Okay, you need to get away from me now. At least a good arm swinging length away.
Luke? Arm swinging length?
I just spent $100,000 and it's all your fault.
How?
That's what I was thinking. I was like, what's wrong with you? And at first I was excited because I thought he had bought the apartment building, but he just bought the building next to him. And I'm kind of just like, oh, that's cool, I guess. That's another thing you can have. But I really wanted, for some reason, a new location for him to live in. I thought that would be...
I really shake it up.
Yeah, I just thought that would be a solution to him. Like, I just wanted closure on him getting a new place because his old place was awful.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of seems like he just gave himself a new problem of, oh, now you've got another building. And it was so funny when he was reacting to Lorelai, like, telling him all the things he could do with it. He's like, yeah, yeah, you could rent it out to someone. Oh, that's nice.
like he had never considered
it before. He's just like, oh, I was just going to put some boxes in that space.
Well, speaking of boxes, Jess has so much stuff.
Yeah.
How is it?
He's a
that was actually one of the Twitter Q&As. Is someone said, gonna find him.
Is it,
gonna find him.
How does he have so much stuff and wear so little clothes?
Yeah, I can't find their name. I'm sorry, Twitter person. Anyway. Oh, no. I found her name. It's at Kylene Rachel. She has two questions. One is more rhetorical. First one is, Luke has a Polaroid camera?
I believe that.
Which was maybe a little more common back then, 2002.
Luke has a tiny television that shouldn't exist.
Luke doesn't know that there's been advancements in technology since Polaroid. And then her second question is, how is it possible that Jess has more stuff than Luke? How did it fit in a New York City apartment? Perhaps magic? Well, he is a magician.
He is. He definitely kept it in a hat somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a pack rat, and he's just like, he's a hoarder. But also, I find it weird that he can't go to sleep unless he's listening to, like,
the horrible
punk music.
Loud music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I had the realization that he and Lane would be a great couple.
Well, dude.
Is it weird that I'm okay with him being with Lane?
They deserve each other.
Whoa, Lane's
no,
not
I'm
awful.
I'm just kidding. I'm
but
just kidding.
He's rebellious enough that his mom or that her mom would hate him, which would make Lane like him. And also, they like the same type of music. And she probably would be into magic.
Why? What about Lane makes you think she would probably be into magic?
Her mom wouldn't be into magic. And also, I don't know.
The devil.
Lane. Magic is interesting-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting in the sense that, like, it's a nerdy thing, but I feel like Lane has nerdy tendencies.
Totally.
It's like,
she has glasses.
Yeah.
That means she's a nerd.
That's how characterization
That's how we know.
Happens.
Yeah, that is actually, unfortunately.
I think Lane is nerdy in a cool way. She's nerdy in the way that is, like... Like, she's great at school, but at the same time, she wants to just hang around behind the school and, like, talk about... fucking drugs or something. Not do drugs, but just talk about
just
how
talk
cool
about
the idea
drugs.
Of them are. Just talk about drugs. Just go, you guys heard about cocaine? Yeah, that's one of them.
Cocaine.
Cocaine.
Damn it, Taylor.
Damn it, Taylor.
Caesar is still different in this episode than the Caesar that we come to know and love. We talked about that last time, but it's still not the Caesar guy.
I very much want for a maid situation with Caesar. Where it's just a different person,
or like
every
a Marta
time.
On Arrested Development situation,
yeah,
more like Darren on Bewitched,
or Aunt Viv on Fresh Prince.
Was she different all the time?
She was different once, I think.
Okay,
yeah, she changed. Anyway, a lot of shows do that, and it's so weird.
So, sorry. So at one point, Lorelai and Rory are stocking up for a movie night or something. And they get a bunch of they literally say, okay, I'll go pick up the whipped cream and fudge.
Yeah.
I just wonder, I don't want to make any jokes about anything insensitive. But does it bother the women who watch this show to see these like very small petite girls just like pig out on the grossest garbage of food and just be like, yeah, this is real life?
Well, it could be a metabolism thing, but it also could just be that they literally don't eat anything that is not mentioned.
Oh, I see.
It's like, so oh, we ate
they
cherries.
They never eat unless yeah, it's so mentioned just, on
right.
screen.
If they okay. eat, they've talked about it.
Hmm.
Like when Lorelai gets her pancakes, it's like, well, that was the meal for the week.
You know what I wanted to mention about that one shot, mm-hmm. the shot I was talking about where it was Lorelai and Rory talking about like, hire Jess, don't hire Jess. Are you in him? No, we're friends, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Is it ends with Miss Patty's only appearance in the show.
And walk, and pump your arms and walk, and shoulders back, tuck us in, think about that double chin and walk, and walk, and walk, and tummy's tight and walk. Match me, sweetheart.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah.
Man, I should have made a soundboard of that. Shit. Half the show is us saying, oh, I should have made a soundboard of that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I loved that, but I just love when Miss Patty makes like mini cameo appearances just to be like, no, we remember her. Remember, look how funny she is.
Mm-hmm.
Does Miss Patty ever have like a serious storyline in the show?
Not in seasons 1 through 6.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Season 7 is the Miss Patty season.
If it was, now I would like it.
Maybe they realized how underfed Miss Patty is here, and they made Bunheads just to be like, dance. Miss Patty does dance.
I don't think she's in Bunheads. So.
I know, but
maybe she is.
Maybe it's
she
like a spiritual event. Connection.
Yeah.
A spiritual continuation.
Yeah, there's a lot of spiritual continuations like that in Bunheads, actually, of things that started on Gilmore Girls.
So in the previous episode, I mentioned that there was something in this episode that Lorelai does that makes me, or that confirms the princess thing that I really
oh, right.
Didn't
we were
like.
Saying, do you think Sherry's a better person or Lorelai?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What's the conclusion to that cliffhanger?
So in this episode, one thing that Lorelai does when she realizes that she can't get the pancakes she wants is she goes upstairs, barges into a guy's apartment, and says, please make me the pancakes even though you were busy.
Yeah.
And I hated that so much from a... Like, I understand that in the vein of their relationship, he'd be like, you get the pancakes. All right, I'll do it. And it's like the kind of thing where it's like, oh, but they're so cute and they like each other. But it frustrated me from a standpoint of, like... Lorelai could eat anything. She can go anywhere else if she really doesn't like the pancakes. It's like frustrating that she would go, no, I need Luke to do this and I need it now. It's just like to be that. It was. I hated it. Like, I don't know. I don't know what to say more than.
I feel like there's a moment in the first season that you similarly hated where she was being kind of high maintenance about food that Luke was making her. I'm
about
trouble.
How they shouldn't touch.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was just like, what if I go back in the kitchen and split them and say that? Why didn't she just do that?
Yeah. See, and that's the thing where it's like I think Lorelai believes, oh, this is charming
it's
and
playful.
This is fun.
Right.
But it's really just like, you're being a bad human right now and you're crossing a lot of boundaries.
I know she wouldn't do that if it weren't Luke and they were like great friends, but it's still just kind of like he's running a diner. Like, he's very busy. Don't do this.
He's an adult.
Yeah.
Treat him as such.
Right.
And that's when she comes up there. That's the scene where he says something normal to Jess and Jess storms in. He's just like, learn something new every day. Do you remember that
when
line?
He's like, you're not the only one that lives here. Oh, learn something new every day.
Like, is that is a sick burn if you're 6 years old.
I know you are, but what am I?
Jess, that bad boy. You gotta love those, classic
big
lines.
Pant bad boy.
Gosh, I want to have a civilized conversation about this. I want to have a good dialogue, but I just...
About Jess?
Yeah, I just...
I don't think we can discuss Jess fully until we get into the point where he's in a relationship with Rory. Because it's so hard to see the good side of him when it's like he's trying to be the bad boy. He's not even trying. And this episode culminates in the bracelet moment, which is so... Like, I feel like this is the moment when you decide, like, you either are on the side of... Oh, Jess, really, he did a good thing by finding that bracelet. Or you are on the side of, why did he have that bracelet? That's not cool.
But why, what side are you on?
I'm very much on the side of, why did he have that bracelet? That's not cool.
Could you even play devil's advocate to, Rory dropped a piece of jewelry in that episode, like, Tisket Tasket, like 2 episodes ago.
Right.
And he found down the bridge, and he's held on to it for 2 weeks or however long it's been.
Yeah.
Could you make the argument that's a normal thing? He's a great guy.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know what I just realized?
What?
I didn't even realize that that's what he picked up.
That's it. That was the bracelet. Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. See? Serialized storytelling, man. They just plant things and then
that
pay
changes some things, but it still makes me think, why didn't you just give it back to her?
Just give it back.
Right.
It was just a weird. Well, one of the Twitter Q&As comes in from who else but
Poop Doctor.
At Poop Doctor, baby.
Welcome to my ass.
Welcome to my ass. His question is, what has Jess even been doing with the bracelet? Staring at it? Sniffing it?
It's his...
Joke's on him, since it has Dean scent, too. Because it is...
It's a...
psychopathic behavior.
It's his cornstarch box, you know?
Yeah, but the cornstarch box was consensual.
Right, and also, it was weird, but it was, like, a little cute because it was kind of like they were both... Anyway.
Right, but Taylor Dozy was like, oh, my gosh, my cornstarch. Where'd my cornstarch
exactly,
go? Oh,
yeah.
No. You know, this was like, it put her, like... All the things Lorelai was saying, like, yeah, she was. It was the most precious thing she owned,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, may be in question, but that it would send her to a state of panic. Give it back, you dummy.
I don't like the idea that if she had never mentioned it, if she had never realized it was missing, he would have still had it, you know? He only put it back because it was like, oh.
That's
like,
right, yeah.
It almost felt he felt like he had to do it.
There's no plan, yeah.
Yeah, what was he going to do with it otherwise? I don't like it.
And he's not being a good guy because anything that he does on this show so far is motivated from trying to gain Rory's approval
yeah,
or affection. So I'll talk to your mom and I'll have Chinese food because you want me to. Because you said, oh, be a human.
Right.
Reach out. Don't be a monosyllabic monster. Okay, I'll give back the bracelet because you're upset. So it seems to be appeasing. Like, it doesn't come from an intrinsically good place.
Right.
Ever. At least in, so far. And so it's frustrating to, like, I can't be Team Jess right now. He's just too... If Jess was the Jess that he is, like we were talking about, having that conversation in the kitchen with Lorelai
mm-hmm.
and being like, oh, here's a funny reference, because he's not an uncharming guy. And he's like, I'm not so good with the small talk.
If he was the
fine.
Kind of guy yeah. who like can hold a conversation and like begrudgingly be nice, but still... The bad boy aspect of Jess is he's a bad boy, but he's not even a bad boy in the sense that, like, he's a bad boy with a heart of gold. He's a bad boy who's, like, trying to cause havoc.
With a black heart.
Yeah. And then he has small moments where he kind of does a thing, but it's, like, backhand. It's like, oh, yeah, here's your bracelet that I stole. Or, like, oh, yeah, I helped you win that snowman contest by breaking another person's snowman that they worked hard on. It's like he's doing things that are great for Rory that might seem sweet, but they always come at the cost
of someone
else. This awful thing that he's done. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It seems like the only person, in even with Luke, who is like doing so many great things for him,
mm-hmm.
the only person that he cares about is Rory. And even to her, right. he's just like, oh, you think I care about you? Like, he's trying to play cool. And it's.
Yeah, that pissed me off.
Yeah.
Like, what makes you think I care,
think
about,
I care
you?
About you? All right. It's like all the things you've done for her. You spent $80 on a.
Did you change
lunch.
Your hair? Remember that moment
yeah.
when he comes
Did you
in first?
Your hair?
Like just a weird mother.
Also,
he
I
really
realized
it,
that conversation ends by her going like, "Good, bad, or good new or bad new," and he just goes, he just shrugs, and then Lorelai comes in.
Yeah, I mean, this is not.
Here's
yeah.
the thing: I can be very easily convinced that Jess is good. I'm sure.
From future seasons.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I have so much to go
mm-hmm.
in the Jess canon, but
True.
Right now, I don't know why people are, like, so upset that I don't like him. He's he's being awful.
Yeah.
Think about this. If Jess was a person that you went to school with, if Jess was a person in your neighborhood and he's doing all of this stuff, you have to think, that guy's, like, kind of a jerk,
yeah.
right? If
yeah,
you lose
no
a bracelet
it.
And it's tormenting you, and then some guy is just like... Oh, ah, I found
JK,
it.
Okay, yeah.
You'd probably be like, I'm really happy to have this back, but why did you have that for so long? You know? I don't know.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that?
KevinTPorter.com. I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website. So exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or ebooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace. So you can figure out who's visiting your website and why, and figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accepts credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month, and it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Does it? we're so exhausted over, like,
here's the thing. It's not even that I'm exhausted. It's just that people seem to be really, like, upset that I'm not Team Jess, and I literally can't see a reason why I would be at this point. And I feel bad. I feel like I'm missing something, mm-hmm. almost. It's like, I remember when I first got into Radiohead, I listened to each of the albums for 2 days apiece over the total of 2 weeks. And when I got to Kid A, which is supposedly everyone's favorite album, I was just like, I don't like this. I really, really don't like this. And I don't get why people like this so mm-hmm. much. And it was like stressful. And that's what I'm feeling now.
Because you feel crazy, too.
I feel crazy because it's like, he's the best. And I'm just like, what? No, this is kind of awful.
Yeah, I concur.
This has been the Fashion Report. No, okay. I think we ended it already. Did we formally end it?
I don't think we ever formally ended the Fashion Report, so let's do that now.
Fashion.
Let's actually talk about the book fair scene, which opens with Dean sitting on the stoop like a freaking Charlie Brown cartoon character, like, just slumped over. And
he couldn't have been more passive-aggressively, like, I don't want to be here. I'm so sick of books. Books is a Jess thing now.
Yeah, it is. I'm not the book guy. I don't care about Hunter S. Thompson. I love BattleBots and Lord of the Rings and Neil Young, I guess.
And I hate Autumn in New York.
Yeah, which is a movie about cancer?
What isn't?
It's a lot of them.
Name one.
The Fault in Their Stars. Okay, that's a bad example.
Yeah.
so he's all about Lord of the Rings and BattleBots now. I will say the blocking for this scene, the revelation that she does not have the bracelet anymore, was very clunky.
Was it really?
Yeah.
What was the...
The blocking, if you watch it again, she brings the books to Gypsy, who's back. Love Gypsy.
Love Gypsy.
Kirk's haggling with her over, like, 2 cents. And she rolls up her sleeves to pay, which makes no sense.
Oh, here, let me just get my dollars out of my sleeve.
Yeah. She doesn't keep her wallet in her sleeves.
Yeah, some people do. Some people get their heart on their sleeves.
Hard on their sleeves?
Yeah, hard on their sleeves.
Mm, that's gross.
Dick sleeves. It's like green sleeves, but for dudes.
Green sleeves, but for dudes. I will say, renting Autumn in New York and mocking it is the best thing Dina's ever suggested to
do
for a date. I'm like, oh, I would date that
right.
guy.
Right. A shitty movie night? That's so fun.
Yeah, that's the best. You do those, right? You've sat on the podcast before.
Ladies, if anyone wants to have a shitty movie night with yours truly.
Demi's address, let me pull it up real quick.
820. No.
Is 1122 Boogie Woogie Avenue.
Why did you?
Sorry, dude.
You're supposed to say the joke address.
Yeah. Oh,
You're actually going to tell him it's apartment 74.
Well, don't trust the whore in apartment 74.
Oh, my God. By the way, trust the apartment. Don't trust the B. Good show.
Is it actually?
It's a good show.
Is it on Netflix?
I don't think it's on Netflix. It might still be on Hulu, but it got canceled too soon.
Do you want to talk about House of Cards again for 15 minutes?
Yeah, dude. When it comes to playing.
Power. That's my one word Frank Underwood impression. Power.
Power.
Which is like not accurate. So
working in Washington's like a house of cards. You just pull one out the bottom and it all comes tumbling down. I want to do a thing where we just impersonate Kevin Spacey as never mind.
As what?
We'll talk about that. Just as Frank Underwood. I don't know in
like
what fashion.
Going to get a latte. Little do they know, even though I got the non-fat latte. I don't something. I love power.
I do love power. Some people think the espresso shot is for flavor. For me, it's all about the boost.
Oh my gosh. So the Luke storyline in this is like he's run out of space with all Jess's stuff.
Yeah.
He needs more space. He needs a new apartment. And he calls Lorelai from a payphone because those exist in 2002. And we got a question about this on Twitter. This also comes from Kaitlyn Rachel. She says, is Luke talking on the payphone at the Best Buy parking lot?
Oh.
Have we ever seen a payphone on this show before? Hashtag cereal, guys.
Hashtag cereal.
Yeah. That's a good joke, Kaitlyn. Well done. I don't have a good joke in return.
I'd never use a payphone because that's me giving money to talk to someone else.
It's almost Morgan Freeman as Frank Underwood.
It is. Andy Dufresne crawled for 30 miles of power.
Back on track. Welcome to my ass.
We've now co-opted this guy's bio as our own thing, and I'm loving it.
I think he's always a credited co-writer.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Thank you, Poop Doctor. You're valuable.
Yeah. We love you. Come on the show.
We love you.
Well, we should have him call in when we do our call-in episode.
Yeah, and we'll know because he'll say the code word,
yeah.
Which is, welcome to my ass.
he's looking for an apartment, and the way that him and Lorelai are behaving in this episode, we've said it before, but they are functionally a couple. In this way, there's no conflict here. There's nothing like there's not even a lot of sexual tension here.
Right.
But you could watch this episode and maybe granted one or two moments, totally assume that they're together. If you didn't know anything else about the show, other than that horn dog real estate lawyer being like, if I look like the two of you, I mean,
I would never put clothes on.
We would never.
What was that about?
That was inappropriate.
Although Lorelai did kind of lean into it by saying, like, we promise not to do anything dirty while you're gone.
She loves that word, dirty.
She loves dirty. Just messing with Luke, I think.
Yeah, oh, well, that's a big part of it, too. Mm. Get off me. Damn it, Lorelai.
Damn it, Lorelai.
And I don't know. I think we probably both have, like, close friends in our lives. Actually, you know what? I don't know if this is a Gilmore Guys talk, because I've been thinking about the difference between just general chemistry and romantic chemistry.
Right.
Because Luke and Lorelai just have chemistry. Is it specifically romantic? They're attractive and they're attracted to each other, definitely. But what about, like, and what is it in life that is the distinction between romantic chemistry and just in general chemistry?
Right. Like, what's compatibility versus...
Right. Like, I have friends who are girls that's like, oh, we have, like, I'm probably just saying of one in particular where it's like, we have a lot of chemistry, but is it romantic?
Right.
You know?
Same.
So anyway, let's text them right now.
Could you imagine if we just text our friends like, what are we?
an on-air DTR.
An on-air.
I would love
what's
it.
What's DTR?
Define the relationship. We'll
oh,
talk
God,
about
no.
That.
No, I've had that talk, and it's the worst, and I don't want to have it again because I'm very confident in not having any romantic compatibility and not wanting there to be in my friendship. And I'm weird about relationships. Like, I will pretty early on in the, like, a friendship go, hey, if I'm into you, like, I want to let you know. And if they go, I'm not, I'm just like, that's fine. And I keep it going.
Yeah.
Right.
That's great. That's great. Just clarity is great in general. Yeah. And something I've been trying to practice more of lately. This got very personal. I feel
it
like
did.
I should put on Sarah McLachlan right now.
La, 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 la.
Anyway.
Oh, my God. What if we just play Sarah McLachlan underneath all the personal stuff? And then we get sued and we can remove it all. Huh? There's a plus side. Power is all about taking back that what's been taken from you. We barely Ooh. Talk about the show anymore.
No, we're on track. People love us. People are in love with us. Just keep telling yourself that. Just be in denial.
Yeah.
What I was going to say is I thought it was funny that they pretended to be a married couple, because I had a flashback to 5 years ago. Some friends of mine and I was with them. I wasn't looking for an apartment with them, but I was just with them while they were looking for an apartment. And it was a couple of girls, and then one of them said, they just labeled me and this other girl married couple. Mm-hmm. And then for the rest of the time walking the apartment, we were like holding hands and making jokes and stuff. And it was just like the exact same scenario as this, which I just...
You know what I think it is?
Good memory.
Getting back to the personal thing, I think romantic chemistry is manufactured. Chemistry can be there, mm-hmm. and you can find chemistry with a person, but if it's not like... romantic chemistry is something you have to try for and then build from there, which is why people realize that it doesn't work even if you feel like... you like someone, you know?
Like, what's an example of that?
Like, there will be people who like each other, and they will try a relationship, and they can be together for up, like, 5 years, 10 years, whatever. And mm-hmm. then at one point, sometimes they'll realize it's not working. And that's them realizing the romantic chemistry was manufactured, and it's not the same as their chemistry as people. And chemistry as people
that's
is
interesting,
what,
yeah.
I think that people can be, like... it's weird to say chemistry in an adverb. Chemically compatible in mm-hmm. a way that they're just great and they work together so well. But mm-hmm. I think if they don't work at it from a romantic angle, then it's just kind of like it's just you're just compatible. I think romantic chemistry has to be something that is felt from both sides and that both people – like you have to build it. You can, no one is like – I don't think – it's the idea of love at first sight versus –
love is a choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is the actual one, the true one. I mean, well, love at first sight is like
attraction.
Oh, I was
like, which is the true one?
No, I'm saying...
No, yeah, yeah.
Love is a choice. Like, there was a great article in New York Times about these two people that... there was a study done, and they asked two strangers put in a room, a guy and a girl, and they put them in the room together, and they asked each other a series of escalating questions of vulnerability. So first it was like... where are you from? Blah, blah, blah. What's your family like? Da, da, da. And then got to like, what are you looking for? What do you like with this? Da, 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 da. And it escalated in vulnerability. And then they stared into each other's eyes for 4 minutes straight without talking. And in both cases, the couples fell in love.
Oh, my God.
And ended up together. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Like, and that seemed to affirm the idea of what you're talking about. Like, romantic chemistry is something you work at, and right. it is a decision, and it's a choice you make.
Exactly.
Which is weird when couples say, like, oh, we just didn't feel anymore, so we fell in love and got a divorce. Well, it's hard.
No, I mean, I kind of understand that.
Yeah.
In the sense that, like, it's something you work at, but also it's something that isn't always there. Even if you work at it, it doesn't mean it's there. It means that the compatibility underneath it was probably not that strong also, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that romantic chemistry and just general chemistry have to be in balance. Like, you have to work at it, but you also have to have, like, an underlying layer of compatibility that's already there.
Right, and just commitment and devotion to it. Welcome to my ass.
Welcome to Loveline with Demi and Kevin.
Two single men.
Two single men.
That barely know what they're talking
living
about.
Living in the city.
Have we confessed on the show that we're single yet?
What do you mean, confess?
I mean, just like...
We've been lying.
Stated.
I'm not... I got a girl. She's at a different school.
What's her name?
Gregory.
Well, that's not like my girlfriend. Her name is...
Tabitha
Mic Stand.
My name is... my girlfriend, Gregory Espresso Brewer.
There's an espresso brewer. Where
it's espresso hyphen brewer. Okay, she was previously married.
Oh, boy. I don't think that... She kept it?
Yeah.
Okay, well...
Look, they're still good friends.
I guess they're attached.
Yeah, whatever. They got a baby.
Welcome to my ass.
Welcome to my ass.
the scene where Jess gets kind of, like, torn apart by Lorelai. She comes in. Clearly, he was in her room.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, nothing. Just seeing if she had Franny and Zoe. She does. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then...
I was going to borrow that book.
My favorite is... I forget the line. I'll edit it in, because I'm not going to do justice to it. But she finally says...
Whatever.
Oh, don't whatever me, you little jerk.
You little jerk. It was just that phrase. You little jerk.
You
little
jerk.
That's all he is. He's just like... And there's things that they keep doing in the show, like... That where you talked about he was walking away from Luke and he looked cool until the pants came into frame. In that line was like, I didn't choose to be here. You just picked the thing, yeah. You know, and I'll be there. And it's like, is that supposed to make us feel sorry for him?
It didn't.
If it is from a storytelling perspective, I think it's a bad technique because I'm not moved by passivity.
No, me neither.
Like, oh, well, I was shipped off to this, and I'm shipped off to this, and because I'm not in control of my own destiny.
The very first thing that I thought of when he said that was like, oh, we get it. I didn't think, oh, poor dude. I thought, whatever, go.
Because that is his one contention. If there was more stuff, just like we talked about in the Ben Rogers thing, like if there's more stuff than like, and I'm not saying that, like, just to be delicate about, like, I'm not saying that for people and anyone who might be listening that comes from, like, you know, a messed up family background or a household where there's, like, not a harmonious marriage or, like, a broken home. Like, his dad leaving, his mom being a shitty mom. But it just seems like for the level of vitriol that this, you know, 17-year-old guy is spitting at everyone, it doesn't seem, the punishment doesn't seem fit the crime.
Right.
To me, I came from a good family. You did too. So maybe that's coloring our judgment, just to put 17 asterisks on it.
He reminds me of like kids in like elementary school who are like acting out and just kids that are acting out and you kind of feel bad, but also you're just like, well, you're still a jerk. Stop doing that.
It's a self-perpetuating cycle,
yeah.
I guess. So maybe that's where the sympathy is that he's caught in a cycle that he's not even aware of.
I'm surprised that he wasn't the one that disassembled the car and put it back together in the science building hallway as opposed to Chad Michael Mudface.
Well, this next Twitter... Well, it's not even a... It's kind of a question, but it's at Poop Doctor again. And he's spitting the truth again. He says, OMG, I just came to the realization, to this realization... But Jess is the proto-Edward from Twilight, isn't he?
Oh.
And then at Boners replied, this
Wait,
is true.
What? At
this
Boners?
At Boners.
So you're telling me Poop Doctor and Boners are having a conversation about Gilmore Girls on Twitter?
I think that's the greatest thing we've accomplished with this podcast.
I love this bar. I love this bar. Twitter is such a wonderful thing. Okay,
so
Dr.
Much
and Boners.
Power.
What does Boners say?
At Boners replied, Jess is full Edward Cullen, Dean is Jacob, they're both trash. I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm not as familiar with the Twilight series. I've only seen two of the movies. Three. I've seen three in the movies, technically.
Well, technically, wouldn't... I mean, in the terms of their relationship to Rory, wouldn't Edward be... I'm not...
Jess?
I don't care enough about...
Denny's tired.
No, I'm not tired. I don't care enough about this analogy to even complete the sentence.
Yeah.
No. But yeah, Jess would be Edward. No, Jess would be Jacob right now, because Jacob's the one she doesn't get with.
I guess so. Anyway, correct us if we're wrong on Twitter. That's an easy way
out.
Don't
tweet about this. I'm kidding.
In Twilight, the relationship was this.
Well, if you see New Moon, you'll see that there's a hint of a glimmer in her.
I don't have any disdain for Twilight. I just don't. I feel like the relation, it's just, as an analogy, it just kind of seems like, ooh, the triangle is really what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't see any parallel between Wolf Boy and Jess.
Do you see parallel between Angel and Spike and Buffy?
I don't know Buffy.
Really? You haven't watched it?
Mm-mm. Oh. I think we talked about this.
I think we did on Ben Simmons' episode, because that's his favorite show.
I need to watch that show.
It's good. I mean, there's things about it that are amazing, but round for round, I think Gilmore Girls is a better show.
Look, after we do this, and we do Bunhan Bros, and we do Bruce Boys, and all of the 17 other podcasts we've agreed to.
We should really start a poll, like... Guys, pick one for us.
Pick
one. And we'll do that.
We'll end up doing something weird. Yeah. Someone will just say, like, you guys should do the
Kenny G album reviews.
Yeah, and we'll be like,
exclusively.
Who got this?
Who got this?
Who got this?
Yo, who got this? That would be a good name.
Yo, who got this? There's a scene where after the whole thing with Jess happens, Lorelai goes to talk to Luke. This is when Luke is sitting down after he just spent $100,000 on...
Yeah, he comes over freaking out to Lorelai's house. He's like, I just spent
$100,000. And he's freaking out, and then he gets calmed down, and Lorelai says something like, hey, do you think there's anything happening between Rory and Jess? And Luke says, you think something's going on? Boy, that would be great.
Yeah, let's talk about
what
that.
What is he thinking?
So, I think... Luke is good in mad dad mode, but in terms of benevolent dad mode, or like when the storm is, when it's the calm before the storm, or it's just the calm, I guess. I think there's a failing, because it is such a weird perspective to for your first reaction not to be, oh, Jess might corrupt Rory in some way.
Right.
And for the it's optimistic, and maybe it shows like he has so much faith in Rory, but that he would be like, oh, Rory, you know, Rory can change Jess.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's his optimistic and his better angel speaking, but it is so ignorant to think that. And he's just like, oh, yeah, that'd be great. And also the fact that she's dating Dean. And he's like, yeah, that'd be great. She broke up with her boyfriend that made her a car and makes her happy.
It seems weird for him to even feel either way. Like, if he said no, or if he said yeah, like, to have an opinion as to who this girl that you have a tangential connection to, like, dating someone. Like, it's, it almost feels like...
tangential.
Well, I mean, they're close, but it's the kind of thing where it's like... if, like, your best friend was saying, like, hey, I have a friend that might date another friend of mine, and you were just kind of like, oh, that'd be great. Like, that's just kind of like a throwaway answer. It's not like, what stake does he have in it besides Jess being, like, I don't think.
I see the stakes.
Do you think that he thought Rory would change Jess? Because in my head.
That was what I took away from it. Okay. It's like, that would be great because. Because Rory's such a good... He freaking loves Rory.
Right.
He loves Rory so much. So
he knows she's a good egg.
What's that?
She's a good egg, and he knows it.
Mmm. That's a phrase we all use.
Egg?
Is it...
Good egg?
A good... Yeah,
or
I've heard it before.
Or maybe bad egg.
I've heard bad egg.
Yeah.
One bad egg can ruin the bunch.
Don't count your bad eggs before they hatch.
Bad eggs plans...
The bad egg, the worst egg plans of mice and men.
There it is. That was a real struggle for me.
The only struggle I know was a power struggle. And in a power struggle, I'm always on the winning team.
Ooh, Frankie.
Welcome to my ass.
We got Morgan Freeman, Morgan Frank Underwood,
Freeman. Morgan Freak.
Freeman Underwood.
Yeah.
Freeman Underwood on the show sometime. I love the ending for this episode.
I liked it from a fun standpoint. My first thought was, why is Jess listening to a rock cover of What a Wonderful World? I see fields green.
It was a choice. It was a choice.
It was a choice.
We'll ask Helen about it when she comes on. She is coming on the show, guys.
Yeah, that was not a joke.
It's happening.
It was not a joke.
Yep.
I did like that he just bursts the wall open and goes, "That's your room. Get to cracking."
And says, "Do you want to hold hands or skip now?" or whatever it is. It's a callback to a line previous in the episode.
You know what I feel like? When he gets into angry mode,
mm-hmm.
his voice sounds like a Jack Nicholson impression.
Does it?
You want to hip hold hands and skip together? Well, maybe not.
Well, I want to play it back. Okay. I want to play it back, and then we'll talk about in 2:16 whether that's true or not.
But I think it's crazy for him to burst open that wall.
Mm-hmm.
But
he was into it.
He was
on fire in that scene. He was like,
Also,
like,
why is there a sledgehammer just next to Jess's bed?
Well, it probably helps him sleep. I don't know.
Right,
punk music helps him sleep.
He wakes up and he goes, huh, and he slams the sledgehammer on something.
Did we talk about what we needed to talk about?
The show? The show Gilmore Girls? No. Haven't mentioned it once, unfortunately. We've been on a kick.
No. You know, because there's not really, it's pretty much just the two stories.
Mm-hmm.
They're just stretched out for a long time.
Yeah.
So
I guess the bracelet is a big story, but it kind of feels, it's weird. To me, it didn't feel like the biggest story until the ending.
What felt like the biggest story? If not that, what
was happening with Rory before the bracelet? The book fair? Is that the first thing? Because I know that,
Yeah, that's it.
Maybe the pacing of this episode was just weird and I didn't notice it. Because in my head, the bracelet was such a small thing.
Yeah, but that's all it was. It was her talking about, hire Jess to clean the gutters. He's a friend. And then book fair, no bracelet.
Yeah.
Back home, be nice to my mom. Where's my bracelet?
You know what I think it is? So I think I'm so used to 30-minute shows where the plot is set up, like the conflict is set up by the end of the first act,
mm-hmm.
that when we
unless
have a show.
Unless it's The Simpsons.
Yeah, unless it's The Simpsons. That when we're watching an hour-long show where by that like 30-minute mark, they haven't really found the central conflict, I'm just kind of like, what's happening a lot? Because mm-hmm. I've had the complaint that the pacing is bad, but I think it's just how this show is. Maybe I just need to get used to it.
You do need to get used to it.
I need to get used to it.
And you will. Let's give it a rating.
I think this episode wasn't awful. It wasn't a standout. It kind of made me feel very differently about Jess, aside from the one moment.
It made you feel differently?
Oh, wait, not differently. It strengthened my opposition to Jess.
Cool.
It gave me a little bit of hope. Like, it made me like Lorelai because of her response to Jess being... She tried.
She tried so...
She really
Lorelai did. Lorelai's being so good. We talk about her being emotionally immature, but she gives Jess all the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
Like, she is very nice to him when he comes over. She offers him Chinese food, even when he's like, you know... Just being a dick, cleaning the gutters. And so, I mean, she's paying him, so maybe it's not being a dick. But she is giving him a lot of chances.
Right.
And she loses it a little bit when she realizes that he did this dumbass thing. But I think that's justified.
Oh, it's very much justified. I don't disagree with her in that moment at all. And the only thing I would say in this moment, or in this episode that she did that I would call immature is when... She hassles Luke for pancakes. And that's even just like a playful character thing. It's not like a deep...
It's not a deal breaker, yeah.
It's not a huge deal breaker of her character. If this were the first episode and we saw that happen, I'd just be like, why do people like this woman? She's she's so stressful. Yeah. But no. In general, this episode, it missed a lot of the townies that I like so much, but...
Yeah, other than Miss Patty.
Yeah, other than Miss Patty.
You get a little bit of Rosie, a little bit of Kirk... Or Gypsy.
Yeah.
I call her Rosie.
Rosie's her real name.
Yeah, Rose Apdu.
Mm-hmm. I would give this episode 6 out of 10 astronomy sections. don't know.
Astronomy section.
Because remember, that was the section she didn't go to that was like, no, I saw it.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I should have said 6 out of 10 rings to rule them all.
I agree with you. Like, the dialogue crackled in some really great ways because Palladino, Amy, has sole writing credit on this one.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of really nice things. Like, even Lorelai's line about, you'll probably meet her in a timberland. But overall, I felt like it was missing something. I mean, it was missing Emily, Richard. But it was missing something to really push into like a B+ episode. So I too will give it 6 out of 10 sledgehammers.
Sledgehammers.
Mm-hmm.
I see fields so green.
Red roses too. Anyway. That's it. We're done with this podcast.
We're out of here. We made a commitment to get to episode 15 of season 2, and we did it.
And we're done, baby.
We're never talking about the show again now.
J.K. Rowling. We'll be talking about this.
J.K. Simmons.
Ooh. Whiplash.
In theaters now. Go watch Whiplash.
I need to.
If you're listening to this, I'll watch it with you.
All right.
For real. I love that movie so much. It's my favorite of the year. In a year that had Birdman and Gone Girl and all these great movies.
And Lego movie.
It's so good. And it got snubbed.
So good.
And it made me upset that it got snubbed for an Oscar. But? Did you see Phil Lord's
tweet?
Yeah.
He made his own Oscar of Legos.
It honestly made my heart swell a little bit.
I think that's the most classy response. Like, it's okay. So consistent with the tone of the movie. It's just the classiest, sweetest thing.
It almost felt like the sweetest child realizing that he didn't get something, you know? It's like the good kid, it's like, I'm sorry I couldn't get you that for Christmas. Like, it's okay. I have everything I need.
It has a 96% Rotten Tomatoes.
I cannot believe... I mean, like, it was a good year for animated movies, but like, the Lego movie...
The Box Trolls, How to Train Your Dragon 2. Like, but I'm saying the other nominees are not...
The Lego movie was a sweep. Everyone was talking
Everyone
about
loved
it for the entire year, and it was...
Here's the weird thing, I think, because Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, the first one that came out like 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
4 or 5 years ago, that did not get nominated either.
And it was
Best
incredible.
Animated Picture.
Yeah.
Same directors. Here's what I think it is. The Best Picture, Best Animated Picture nominees are chosen by animators.
You think so?
Yeah. Well, they are, factually. It's not the entire Academy, the way it works with the acting awards and all that other stuff. It's chosen specifically by animators. So I think Lord and Miller, for whatever reason, are just not liked by a very small circle of people who wield a lot of power. A lot of power.
Power.
And that's why Clyde with a Chance of Meatballs was snubbed. Which,
Clone
that's
High.
Crazy.
No, I'm kidding.
Clone High was not it up wasn't. This year for an Oscar. And Lego Movie, because it is insane.
It really is.
It is insane that it's not nominated.
Even just aside from the technical aspect of the animation, those are both movies that plot, screenwriting, direction are
A-plus.
All hitting
as close to perfect as you can get.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Like,
and
Pixar level great.
Seriously, Pixar level great. And just genuinely funny and heartwarming. Just like, great. And I don't want to believe that that's it, but I mean, I could see that happening. I hate that Hollywood's that kind of industry where that's not out of imagination.
Well, welcome to my ass.
Welcome to my ass.
You can follow me at Kevin T. Porter on Instagram and Twitter.
And you can follow me at ElectroLemon on WordPress. Not on WordPress, but everything else pretty much.
Pretty much everything else.
Pretty much.
Follow the show at Gilmore Guys Show on Twitter. Thank you for all the Twitter Q&As.
Yeah, thank you.
For this episode and the last episode. The last episode, which we recorded.
Come on, it's the next episode.
The same day. Those are real helpful to us, and they often include observations and different angles of thinking about things that we hadn't thought of before. So thank you. Keep sending those in. Also, Sam Phillips and Helen Pye are coming on the show, so keep emailing questions.
I feel bad that we keep having to say this, but like, we're not joking.
We're not joking. They are coming on the show, so keep emailing us questions at GilmoreGuysShow at gmail.com. Follow the show on Twitter at GilmoreGuysShow, Facebook.com/GilmoreGuysShow. Like us, share us, whatever. And I think that's it for where you tweet, I will follow. So there's only
the name of this segment.
One thing
two.
Left.
Two.
Do.
Nice chicken.
Oh, you got me.
Jay. just kidding.
If you're out on the road, feeling lonely and so cold.
Oh, there's an elephant.
Call my name and I'll be there on the next train. Where you lead, I will follow.
Oh,
anywhere
that you
tell me to. If you need,
yes,
you need some power with you, I will follow.
I do need some power with me.
Oh. Where you lead.
What's that, Mr. Underwood?
I will follow you.
What's that, Mr. Freeman?
Anywhere that you tell me to. If you need, you need me to be with you, I will follow. House of Cards.
Power. Morgan
Frank Underwood is just Morgan Freeman in the South.
You know what I think of that song?
I like that song.
Goodbye.
Bye.